Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, February 17th. I'm Ray Graff. In addition to food and drink, most kitchens are the headquarters for home appliances. But are you getting the biggest bang for your buck out of them? Well, we'll see. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here, and they're going to answer your questions about the signature tools of the kitchen. You know, they have a book called The Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. We were supposed to talk about that several months ago. The show got canceled, some political thing. I'm not going to mention any names, but they're here today, and we'll talk the turbo blender, we'll talk the crock pot, the pressure cooker. We want to hear from you. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Get ready for the Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. It comes your way after the news. Well, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough have published about 30 cookbooks in 16 years. That's more than 12,000 original recipes tested and written, 1 million hours at the table, and 1 billion hours on the cross trainer. They've written the best-selling Great Big Pressure Cooker book, the Great American Slow Cooker book, and the Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. And that one has really got my attention. Today, they're here to chop, dice, and swirl your questions about blenders and many other kitchen appliances. Want to hear from you? Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Bruce and Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for having us.
So the last time you were supposed to be on about, what, 3 months ago?
Yeah, we were supposed to come on.
Some political thing happened.
I don't know. It's so unusual for that to happen.
It's been happening a lot. So the new one is Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. More than 140 recipes for pies, ice creams, cakes, brownies, gluten-free treats, and more from high horsepower, high RPM blenders. What kind of RPMs are we talking about here?
Oddly, we're talking, some of these blenders go up to 4 horsepower. So
You're kidding me. You could mow a lawn with it.
You could drive it around your lake.
Wow, that's impressive.
But we're talking Vitamix, we're talking Blendtec, we're talking the Waring Extreme Pro.
Yeah, Vitamix was actually the one most people probably know. It's the one that's been around forever. And then Blendtec came out, and what I love about Blendtec was they have all these commercials and these videos online that show you turning broom handles into sawdust in the blender. And they have
which is what you want to do.
They have this great video where they drop like 4 iPhones in the blender and they make toxic dust.
Right.
So you didn't make any of that, though?
No, we didn't make.
Okay, good.
I don't really know why you need to make quarry dust in your blender, but all right.
But you can do it.
But you can.
So if your blender's strong enough for quarry dust from bricks, then you're easily able to make brownies and handle brownie batter. And the thing about these blenders is they spin so fast that the friction that the blades have on the liquid starts to heat. There's no heating element, and the motor doesn't heat the liquid. But the friction alone will heat it up so that you can make pudding and soup without turning on the stove.
That's why we brought you pudding.
Well, when you guys were writing this book, we were on a year ago or whatever, and you were working on this book, and then you mentioned that you were drinking, obviously, and you had this idea that you could cook in a blender. And so you've actually done this now.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I tested every one of these recipes.
It's to make the brownies we brought you today are actually gluten-free brownies.
But you didn't bake those in a blender.
No.
They're delicious.
No. You have to pour it in a pan and bake it. But you don't have to dirty another bowl. You don't have to dirty a mixer. You don't have to dirty even a spatula.
Literally, throw the eggs, the sugar, the chocolate, the nuts, everything in this blender. Pulse it until it's combined and scrape it into the pan and bake it.
It's crazy.
And no other blender is going to be able to handle that but a turbo blender.
Or you can start with raw wheat berries. You know, wheat berries, the whole grain.
No idea.
Okay.
No.
You can buy raw wheat berries. You can throw them in the blender, grind it to flour, add eggs, bananas, whatever. You have whole grain banana bread in about 2 minutes. You pour it in the pan and you bake it.
Amazing.
It is crazy.
Well, the brownies are very good.
Well, thank you.
See,
and you wouldn't have known they were gluten-free if I didn't say that.
Well, see, that's what you don't tell.
Well, whatever you tell or not, but those are totally gluten-free chocolate brownies. They're super fudgy.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
But puddings to me were just like this crazy revelation because you put in your eggs, your sugar, and I don't even chop the chocolate. I put in the blocks of chocolate.
You're kidding me.
No.
And this is a powerful blender.
And this blender
like Briggs & Stratton or something?
4 horsepower.
Amazing.
And I did it in, I made this one in the KitchenAid because they make one too now. And what I actually liked about the KitchenAid is they have two versions. And I don't like to promote any particular brand, but they do have a pitcher, a pit that, you know, that goes on top of the blender that's insulated, so that it will turn that pudding to setting temperature, 180 degrees, in 5 minutes, as opposed to 7 minutes, which the other blenders take.
It's crazy. I think that somehow this is just the ongoing appliancization of our career, from pressure cookers to slow cookers to this. We just are
We're always looking for ways to use these appliances in new ways. I mean, these turbo blenders have been around for a while, and most people just make smoothies
and
out of them.
We're talking about useful appliances. Yeah. We're not talking about an Evelskiver maker or something that you would...
I don't even know what that is, but
Danish,
I didn't even know you could say it on the radio.
Well,
it's
I can
a Danish
say
donut, but it's so... You know, most people have been using these blenders for years just to make smoothies, and you know, because you could throw a whole orange in it and a whole beet and a whole carrot, and it purees the whole thing
fish.
Down to the thing. But we said, hey, if it could do that, can it grind oats into oat flour and rice into rice flour? And then if we just throw the sugar and the cocoa and the eggs and the melted butter in, don't we have instant
this,
batter?
This literally That's started amazing. When we were on QVC once. And we were on, we're sitting back in the green room at QVC waiting to go on for our slow cooker break.
Drinking.
No,
no,
actually.
Okay.
Bruce was knitting and I was pacing,
right,
which is
fine.
How it goes in the green
mm-hmm.
room. And I was watching them. They were Vitamix was today's special value. So I watched the guy, you know, grind flour from wheat berries in a Vitamix. He's making flour. And at the end, he's like, oh, look at me. I got flour that I can do whatever with, right? And so I said to Bruce, wait a minute. What would prevent us then to just throwing the eggs and the sugar and the milk on top of that flour and turning it on and making a brownie? And he said, I don't know.
Let's try it.
We'll
when
try
we
it
home.
When we get home. So we drove back through a blizzard back to New England from QVC and then got home. And sure enough, he
it
made...
worked.
Where is QVC? Yeah.
They're in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
You're kidding me.
No.
Yeah, Westchester, Pennsylvania.
It's about a 5-hour drive for us.
Well, I tell you what, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. Let's go to Layla at Mount Tremper. Layla, you're on.
Hey, folks. I actually use my Vitamix to do exactly, at least part of what you said. I grind up my own whole wheat grain. I don't eat wheat. But I've never thought of throwing everything in. I tend to blend the eggs and the brown the sugar or the whatever, and then but I mix the dry and the wet ingredients separately. Do you think a Vitamix is strong enough for that? I don't have no idea what horsepower it is.
The Vitamix is absolutely perfect for that. We have recipes in our book for all sorts of gluten-free and regular waffles and pancakes. And
it is the only way I make pancakes. Now, this last weekend, I threw steel-cut oats, you know, uncooked raw steel-cut oats, and spelt.
Yep.
Spelt berries into the blender. I ground them up into a flour, and then I just added buttermilk and honey, and I made pancakes. And I did
and
it
eggs.
All right in the blender.
Yeah, no, the Vitamix will definitely be able to handle that for you.
Thank you so much. I will definitely do that. I love playing with recipes because I don't eat wheat.
Yep.
Like I'll use honey instead of sugar, but then I'll cut down on the liquid. And you know, the Vitamix is so forgiving with that. It just kind of mushes it all up.
Yeah, well,
right,
these turbo blenders are really very helpful for people who don't eat wheat for whatever reason.
Really?
Because you can easily make your gluten-free options by putting rice in or oats or
just go to the store and buy brown rice.
Or teff. And you could put that in and flip it on.
And it won't work in a regular blender?
No. A regular blender is great at making your margarita, and it can chop ice. But it is
four horsepower,
remember. It is not powerful enough to grind the
grain. But if you can chop ice, you can't grind grain?
No.
Come on.
There's a huge difference.
You can't. It's too far.
It'll start to chop it up, but you'll end up with coarse bits. You're not going to end up with that powdery.
I mean, you want to grind those grains. You want to put, let's say, you're going to make brown rice and cornmeal waffles. And so you want to put those, you know, just raw brown rice from the store, and then the cornmeal in there and turn it on. And you want to turn it off before you stick your finger back in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, always. And you want a consistency. We keep saying like talc. So you want to get it like that talc-like consistency. And it's impossible to do that in like a, you know, KitchenAid regular old blender.
Now, just for my curiosity's sake, how many blenders are in your house?
Two, four, six, eight. You got 9 or 10
You're
now.
Kidding me.
No.
That is insane.
Do you know how many of these I have?
Pressure
I'm
cookers?
Holding up the pressure cooker book to Ray. I have about 19 pressure cookers in the house.
Well, that's a great book, by the
way.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But there are more pressure cookers than there are blenders. But there are a lot of blenders.
But
in
I've
the
given
house.
A lot of blenders away. Because you know what happens? After I'm done testing recipes for these books, I've got 30, 40 appliances. So we tend to, you know, give them as parting gifts from dinner parties.
And you can still write them off on your taxes.
Works out very well, except when they're given to us for free. So.
I see. Well, the Great Big Pressure Cooker book is a really handy one to have.
Did you get yourself a pressure cooker?
No, but that's the funny thing. I still like the book. I've got it.
I think that the pressure cooker is, I don't know, it's the wave of the past today. It's you know, what grandmother
did. An oldies radio station all of a sudden?
It is, totally. It's the Eagles now.
Yeah, the Buckinghams. You got to go back a ways.
Ah, the Buckinghams.
Sure. Oh, speaking of the Eagles, we were down in Atlantic City once. I don't remember what we were doing down there. But there was a big announcement as we were going into one of the casinos that said, tonight, the Eagles, live and indoors.
Like indoors is a selling point?
Yeah. Well, they have to de-louse them before they bring them in. All right, let's take a break here. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are our guests, and we talk the Turbo Blender Revolution. You can talk the crock pot. You can talk the pressure cooker. It's 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at the recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals. Information at gloriosaco.com. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. breadandbutteramherst.com. Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. facebook.com/roundhousebakerycafe. Field Goods, working to help people change the way they eat and support sustainable communities. Local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly year-round to workplace and community locations. field-goods.com. And Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield. Celebrating more than 80 years of serving communities throughout New England, BigY.com.
Vox Pop, it's Food Friday, don't you know? Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551 is our number. We're joined today by Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, and their most recent book is Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. Did you know that you can make pudding right in a blender? Yeah, I didn't know that. You can mix the brownie batter, but you can't bake it yet. But I think the next round of nuclear blenders,
oh, nice,
you might be able to do something.
Oh, nice.
And you made brownies in a crock pot? Are you trying to make stuff up here, Bruce?
No, this is our slow cooker book.
Right.
And you can make...
Well, not Ray.
No, you're right. You're absolutely
people
right.
People can.
You make the batter, you put it right in the insert of the slow cooker.
Yeah.
And you turn it on. And it bakes in the insert.
It can't come out like
cake,
though.
Look at that picture.
You can do a lot with a picture. I mean, is it
everything that we shoot in our books is edible and real and made to the recipe.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Patty and Otis. Patty, you're on.
Hey, Ray. So I'm interested. Your new cookbook sounds exciting because I have a Vitamix I got about 2 years ago, and I have an Instant Pot that I got last year, and both of them have changed my life, but we don't eat a ton of meat, and I'm wondering, in the Instant Pot, what else you would use the pressure cooker function for. I've done it for rice, but that's about it at this point.
All right, let me tell you this, Patty, that the pressure cooker will change your life if you decide to make a cheesecake, because we have dessert recipes in our pressure cooker book, and the cheesecake alone will change the way you think about cheesecake.
Come on.
Under pressure, the cheesecake comes out smooth and silky,
moosey.
And rich and moosey. And it's not that chewy New York style cheesecake. It's absolutely incredible. But aside from that, there are so many other recipes you could do. You could make beans and grains soups.
Bruce and I have a couple of classes on Craftsy on the pressure cooker, and I have one on the turbo blender on Craftsy. But in our second pressure cooker class on Craftsy, I make a quinoa risotto, and it's kind of crazy because I overcook the quinoa in the pressure cooker.
Why?
Until it gets to the consistency of rice and risotto. But this is a whole grain, as it were, a quinoa risotto.
Yeah.
And then I add bacon and Parmesan cheese and all that to it. And it's this fabulous side dish that, honestly, it's, as we say, dinner party worthy.
So I've actually done that quinoa risotto thing, but I did it on slow cooking, not pressure cooking.
Do it under pressure cooker, and it'll be done in 7 minutes as opposed to 6.5 hours.
Wow. I've tried
7 minutes?
I've tried it on slow cooking, too, and I actually like the way, for lack of a better word, that the pressure blows the little grains apart. It blows them apart a bit, and it gets it a creamier taste.
Oh, okay. All right. I have to get your book, because I feel like I haven't explored the pressure portion of the Instant Pot. I use the sautéing and the searing and everything else, and I just haven't really gone there yet.
So, Patty, this is a combo? This is a combo pot?
Yeah, it's a multi-cooker, and it does everything, including yogurt making. But, Patty, I want to give you one piece of advice with the Instant Pot. Unlike all the other electric pressure cookers out there, the Instant Pot cooks at a slightly higher pressure and a slightly higher temperature. So it will cook faster than a lot of other electric pressure cookers, and therefore you want to follow the timing closer to the timing for a stovetop cooker and not the timing for the electric cooker
for,
in a recipe.
For delicate things.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because, Ray, this does everything.
Really?
You can, it's stainless steel insert, so you can saute and sear the vegetables right in there and then put in the liquid and put it on slow cook. Or you can do pressure cooking. I haven't explored the yogurt thing either. I know I have to get there, but step by step.
This is amazing, Patty. Yeah. So you have a lot of free time on your hands. Good for you.
Yes, I do. Between Mets games, I cook for
it. Let's go Mets. Hey, Patty, thanks for the call.
Bye.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The latest is Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. I thought I would see it on QVC. Haven't seen it on QVC.
Oh, well, not yet.
Not yet.
No, but hopefully we'll get on there. Yeah. That's got to be a scene to get on there, right?
Well, it's great when you do. Well, we've been on for the last two books. So I can't complain. They've been very good to us.
Well, have you heard this radio station? You can complain about almost anything.
Okay, let's start with
Let's go to Bess in Gilderland. Bess, you're on.
So, hello, guys. Wonderful show. I always enjoy these kinds of things. I have a blender, and it's 1,500 watts, and I'm wondering if that compares to your turbo blender and if it's enough power to do the wonderful grinding you're talking about.
A turbo blender is going to be something that is usually at least 1.5 horsepower. And they go up to about 4 horsepower. So if your blender is still in watts and not horsepower, you're probably not up in that.
Do
you have a watt to horsepower ratio?
No, I don't remember what that is. But I can tell you, Bess, that the what you're looking for is a blender that on its own could bring up water to the steam, if not near the boiling point. So when you turn it on high, it's so powerful that the mere friction of the blades can heat the water that hot.
And you know how you'll know that is you have to look at your instruction booklet.
Yep.
If it doesn't tell you that you can heat soup or that you can grind grains, then you can.
I mean, because these things are so powerful. You can put raw carrots in them, plus some broth and some dill, and turn it on, and you have hot carrot soup in 5 minutes.
I've heard about those kinds of blenders and read about them, but just for grinding grains into flour, though?
Yeah, you still need...
Do you need that much power?
You do. You need that kind of power to get the grains fine enough and finely ground enough to be able to bake with.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And you're talking about as fine as tough. That's pretty darn fine, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Just like flour.
Well, Bess, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. If you are bringing water to a near boil or soup or whatever... Yep. Isn't that a safety hazard?
Well, no, because these blenders are all designed with venting in the lids. So you know that little thing that comes out of the middle of the lid in all blenders? That's there so that if you're blending hot stuff, you take that off and you cover the top with a paper towel so you don't build up pressure. These all have a center cup, but they're designed for steam to get around that cup. So no pressure builds inside. So that when
it won't spew all over your
kitchen. It heats up, it doesn't. There's no pressure building up in the blender.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I wonder if you could make a nice, some sort of a variation on a hot toddy with that.
You could.
Sure,
well,
I never thought about it.
The thing with that is basically you're talking about maybe taking apple juice and some spices and half and half or cream or whatever and putting that in the blender. I wouldn't put the alcohol in until afterwards. And then you heat up your base liquid that way. And what I like doing about everyone, I've heard people say, well, can't I just do that on the stove? Well, of course you could do it on the stove. But you could serve it right from this blender.
Oh, and, amazing.
And as far as I'm concerned, turning the blender on for 3 minutes is so much better than heating my kitchen up by turning on
the stove.
If
you're going to have a party and you're going to have hot punch, some kind of adult libation punch, you want to use a slow cooker.
Oh, keep it warm.
Honestly,
in
you want to make it all
night.
In the slow cooker, turn it on low, leave it uncovered, and then just set it out there. Let people just come to the trough.
But the other thing I want to talk about in the slow cooker, Ray tasted brownies that we brought in that we made the batter in the turbo blender.
Right.
But you can also make brownies, talking about easy shortcuts, in the slow cooker. You could put your brownie batter in right in the crock. And I don't know if any brownie batter will work, but I've created a batter recipe in our slow cooker book, and we baked the brownies right in the slow cooker.
What would be different about the recipe you created for the crock pot than the normal?
It probably has less moisture in it, because in an oven, as brownies bake, moisture's evaporating as the cake dries out. In this case, you have the lid on the crock pot so no moisture is getting out. And in fact, the trick we do in all of our baking in the crock pot is we lay paper towels over the top of the pot and then put the lid on so that any moisture that does come up gets caught in the paper towels and doesn't drip back down onto the batter.
Right.
And the brownie that you have a picture of in your book.
It's amazing.
Is it cakey? Is
it's
it
fudgy? No,
it really is.
It's fudgy and chewy and amazing.
I'm incredulous. Let's go to Margie in Ulster County.
Sure are.
Margie, you're on.
Hey there, folks. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a Vitamix. I love my Vitamix. I use it every single day.
What do you use it for?
To make a smoothie.
Uh-huh.
I make my smoothie, but it's a really good smoothie. It's got lots of greens in it and berries and dates and ginger and turmeric. And it's a kick-ass. It's really good.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's a really, really good smoothie. But here's the thing. I also like to make salad dressing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also I make a particular dessert. It's a vegan cheesecake.
Yep.
And what I do is I take 3 cups of raw cashews.
Yeah.
A couple of lemons, lemon juice, and I like to sweeten it with dates rather than like a refined sugar.
Well, dates have so much sugar in them that especially when you put them in the turbo blender, that becomes almost a very sweet paste. And cashews are the most amazing dairy substitute. When you're looking at cheesecakes and custards and puddings and ice creams, no other nut milk will give you the richness and the mouthfeel that cashews will. In fact, we have friends over for dinner last night and they brought a quart of cashew ice cream.
Yum.
And it was amazing. It was a dairy-free ice cream made with cashews, and it was amazing.
How does one milk a cashew?
Well, you grind them up and then you drain out in a nut bag.
I've not heard of anything like that before.
Well,
it's true.
So
my question is that my Vitamix tends to overheat while I'm running it.
How do you know it's overheating?
Because it stops.
Okay, then that's a problem. Then you have a problem with the machine. If your machine is overheating during normal running, and that normal running would be keeping it on for, up to 7-8 minutes. If it's turning itself off because it's overheating, you have a malfunction and you need to call customer service and talk to them.
Provided that the overall density, you do have to watch the density of these things.
Well, yes.
Right?
If the brownie batter, the machine can do it, but I hear it going, but it does it perfectly. So as long as you're not trying to mix cement in it, although, like I said, the Blendtec, they grind up bricks
they
into quarry.
But
I
should say that we just sent a blender back a couple of months ago, a few weeks ago, I guess, because it was doing this thing that, I would get it revved up to go, and then it would shut off.
Yep.
And it was the manufacturer took it right back. It was defective.
And sent a new one, yep.
And
so you have a problem with your machines. You need to call them and get that repaired.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. That is good to know. I thought it shouldn't be stinking like that.
Oh, no.
But I use it every single day for my smoothie. It gives me no problem. I make salad dressing with cashews, and the salad dressing is really, really good, too. But the cheesecake is really thick.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it is not happy, and it shuts off. I still make it, but...
Yeah, you need to call customer service and talk to them. They'll help you out.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks a lot for that, Margie. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number in your new book, Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution, page 78. Looks darn good. Orange no-bake cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Tell us about that one.
Well, basically, these no-bake cheesecakes are a mixture of cream cheese and heavy cream, and we use gelatin to sort of hold them together. So that's the only sort of cheat is there is I do mix the gelatin, in this case a little orange juice, in the microwave for 10 seconds to soften the gelatin. But then it goes right in the turbo blender with everything else. You pour the whole thing into one of the springform pans,
yeah.
Put it in the refrigerator.
It's the same with making panna cotta.
Yeah.
We just put chopped up chocolate, orange marmalade,
milk,
turn it on, heat it up, add the gelatin, pour it out. Never turn on the stove.
That's impressive.
Never.
Puddings, custards, panna cottas,
ice creams,
cream pies. Now, the machine can make the custard, but the machine cannot freeze the ice cream.
Freeze the ice cream. Well,
can't you come up with something that'll do that? That's an impressive. All right, the phones are loading up here, so let's go over to Joe in LaGrangeville.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question. My wife and I have blood sugar problems, but we also have sweet tooth. So we're exploring all different options for sugar substitutes, and mm-hmm. we've been doing this for years. And I'm wondering if you just give me your take on agave. I keep hearing all these mixed things about it. I can't figure out if it helps with our blood sugar. I can't figure out if it's dangerous, if the raw stuff is better than the non.
Well, you're not a doctor. Stuff. These guys aren't doctors. But,
no, we're not. We're not nutritionists. I can tell you that agave nectar is sugar. It is not a sugar alternative. It is as mm-hmm. sweet as any as honey and maple syrup. I have read things where people say, oh, yeah, but it doesn't affect your body. But I don't know that.
Okay.
Not a nutritionist.
Okay. Well, then let me switch it and just ask you, have you ever used the stevia baking substitutes that, they say you can exchange for sugar? And this is a flavor issue. This is not a nutrition issue.
Yeah. I have only used it once, and I've used it not in baking. I used it in some other salad dressing. Yes, it gives sweetness. But I don't know about baking with it because I've never tried.
Yeah, we're not happy with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to figure out what else I can use.
Interesting.
And it's not even a sweetness issue. It's, you need the sugar for texture.
Oh, absolutely. There's certain things you can't get away without using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any sugar substitutes that you've used that even if I'm willing to sacrifice the sweetness, but I'm looking for the texture?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that the texture you get from using a real sugar, whether it's in the form of maple syrup or honey or granulated sugar, is something mm-hmm. that no one, in my opinion, has yet been able to.
Well, let me say this about that.
Okay.
So let me say something. If you're going to use stevia or honey or maple syrup or agave nectar or whatever you're going to use, go and try to find recipes that have been specifically developed to use those things. I wouldn't just substitute them in grandma's cake because I don't mm-hmm. know that the recipe is actually formulated to handle that.
Yeah.
Honey, mm-hmm. for example, requires a very different formulation in baking than refined sugar does. So I say, instead of trying to put it in something go away from that mm-hmm. and look online or other places for actual recipes formulated for that.
Because there are mm-hmm. food writers and cookbook authors out there working with these products.
Exactly.
And so it's better mm-hmm. to have a professional's take who uses it and use their recipe than try and mix that into another recipe.
Joe, thanks a lot for that call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Bruce Weinstein, Mark Scarborough, our guests. I got to say, this pudding is amazing.
Well, thank you.
Really.
And that was whole milk and eggs and sugar and vanilla and flour and salt and unsweetened chocolate, whole block
like
of it.
Like a bar of it.
That went right in the turbo blender, put the lid on, turned it on.
For how long?
And I did that in the thermal jarred version of my KitchenAid, and it took 5 minutes. And
wow.
It poured out thick and steaming hot and done.
It really is. It's amazing, delicious.
Now pour that into a graham cracker pie crust and then cover it with cream, and you got chocolate cream pie done in 5 minutes.
Well, all right. I'll do that. Frederick in Albany. Frederick, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling about my – I have a Vitamix X60, or it might be an X50. Well, I was kind of disappointed after I got it because, you know, I got it – it's like a single-serve Vitamix as opposed to, say, the huge or the big Vitamix. And I kind of wish I had gotten the big one instead. I would advise anybody, if they get a Vitamix, to get the larger one instead of the smaller one. It's fine for small jobs. It's better than, say, the other product. I won't mention any names, but, you know, I would advise anybody to get the bigger one if they were to get one.
Okay. How big? Like a garbage can? What are we talking about here? No?
The Vitamix that I have is like this. It's like equivalent to a bullet.
I've never even seen that. I've never seen that model of the Vitamix. Interesting. Now, if you want to be cooking in your turbo blender, if you want to be making soups or puddings or waffle batter, you need a larger container.
Oh, waffle batter, man. That's it.
Yeah, works good.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Pour it right for the container into your waffle iron. Whole grain waffles.
Frederick, thank you for that call. We'll take a break here. 800-348-25510. The secrets we've learned here about turbo blenders. And you know, there's still 20 minutes left of the program. Hang in there.
Support for WAMC comes from 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, providing local and seasonably inspired pub fare using antibiotic and added hormone-free meats, local produce, craft beer, cocktails, and wine, 20railroad.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. SUNY Schenectady County Community College, presenting Chefs for Success, February 21st, 6 to 8 p.m., gala reception, gourmet food, pairings, suny.scc.edu/chef. And Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering.
.800-348-2551 is the telephone number, 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday with Ray Graff and our guest today, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. And what's the worst thing you ever tried to make that didn't make the Turbo Blender book?
The worst
thing? The biggest failure had.
I'm going to say that you probably don't want to put raw bacon in a Turbo Blender.
Did you really try that?
No, but I will tell you this. One of the projects Mark and I did this year, we helped some woman fix her own cookbook, and she's this big, natural. She turned a cookbook into her publisher, and they rejected it
because
the recipes were bad. So she came to us and hired us to fix her recipes. And she was this big health food thing. And one of her recipes was for a breakfast smoothie that included kale and raw chicken liver.
Delicious.
And so the first thing we told her to sell this book right is don't tell people to eat raw chicken
liver. That's a good idea. All right.
Always
fair
good.
Enough.
Yeah. That's pretty disgusting.
Okay. All right. So that's an evasive answer to my question about what recipe didn't work in the Turbo Blender.
I remember a lot of stops and starts. That's what I remember. I don't remember any recipe that we just set out and said no. Do you?
No. There were things that didn't work, that maybe the texture wasn't as good or didn't, you know, look as right. But it wasn't like when we wrote our first book, the Ultimate Ice Cream Book, which is our best-selling book to date. There was one recipe that I was so hopeful for. And no matter how many times I tried it. I couldn't make it work, and that was for garlic ice cream. Because no matter how much I tried it, it still tasted like I was licking a block of frozen Alfredo sauce.
And on that happy note, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Harriet in Winchester, Connecticut. Harriet.
Oh, hi. Hi, Ray. And thank you for keeping Alan in check in the morning. I always appreciate it.
Well, that'll get me fired. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. My question is this. I eat largely a plant-based diet, and I eat some fish and shellfish and chicken. And I have one of those Ninja blenders. It's 1,500 watts and 1.5 horsepower. Mm-hmm. It seems to do whatever I need to do. Mm-hmm. But my question today is, yesterday when visiting a friend, I was given some chestnut flour that they had ground to make into flour from chestnut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And someone said to me, oh, Harriet will want this. Do you want this? And
oh, I lucky said, yes. You. Yeah, lucky
is it good?
You.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. So,
and I've made my own almond flour. I make mm-hmm. this fabulous almond cake with almond flour.
Yep.
But I haven't looked anything up yet. I just got this yesterday afternoon, and I spent all morning cooking and chopping vegetables here. And I wonder if you can make some suggestions as to what I might do with this.
Well, I love to put chestnut flour actually into homemade pasta. So, you know, there's no gluten in it, so it doesn't hold together very well on its own, but it adds a great texture and flavor if you were to substitute about 25%. So if you are making your own pasta, just take 25% of your regular semolina flour out and add 25% of this chestnut flour. And it's very Tuscan to have chestnut pasta. It's really delicious.
But doesn't it work that way in a lot of baked goods?
In a lot of baked goods.
It's about a 25% that you can.
That's where you want to max it out.
Yeah, okay. Because that way you'll still have the texture and the structure. It will be denser, but you'll have a great sort of nut flavor.
It has a chewier texture, but nonetheless,
interesting.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to know is, does it have any thickening properties? I recently made a wonderfully delicious celery and onion soup,
yum,
and I thickened it with some whole grain flour, you know, a roux situation. And then I was thinking what I might like to do is to process some rolled oats in my blender and make that into a oat flour and then use that for thickening. I was just trying to figure out how to get away from the wheat. Constantly trying to deal with inflammation situations from old Lyme disease stuff. And so the chestnut flour of any use in that application?
It is. It's very starchy. So it will give you but don't think of it in terms of a thickening the way flour thickens.
Right.
Think of it more, it'll get almost gummier. It'll thicken in a gummy quality, which I actually don't mind that texture.
It also tends to scorch really quickly.
So you'll have to stir, and preferably even stir with a spatula so you could scrape the bottom as you go.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so very much. I always enjoy listening to you. And I don't have any of your books, but I would probably like to get one.
Well, you guys have a website, right?
BruceandMark.com.
BruceandMark.com. Hey, Harriet, have a great weekend. Thank you for calling. By the way, before we get to the next calls, this one came in from Anomalous from Deering.
Oh, Anomalous.
Who says, I believe, according to what is in my volatile memory, as the computer people say, the conversion factor is 746 watts equals 1 horsepower. But electric motors have losses, resistance losses, iron losses, etc., probably at least 10%, in which case about 828 watts of energy coming in would give you 1 horsepower of power actually available to spin the blades.
Well, there you go.
You see, we have very smart listeners. Of course, it could be wrong.
Well, that would say then that 1,500 watts is close to 2 horsepower or 1 3/4, which might be enough for you to grind grains, but all you have to do is try it out.
Yeah, the only way to do this is to try it.
So if you're unsure of whether your blender could do it, go buy a small package of steel-cut oats or wheat berries, put a cup of them in your blender, put the lid on, turn it on high, and if in 1 minute you don't have flour, guess what? Your blender can't do it.
Interesting. I would assume that eventually you need to sharpen the blades. I know my lawnmower, I need to sharpen the blades.
Blades in blenders, and most people don't realize this, on any blender, even your old wearing bar blender that you've been making margaritas for 10 years, you should change those blades every few years.
Ice is murder on blades.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you would
murder.
Think. All right, back to the phones we go, and Sue in Livingston. Sue.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Well, I started out going to answer one question, but now I've got a couple that I'm going to.
Fantastic.
The gal that was just on there, I thicken my things with arrowroot,
mm-hmm.
and it works quite well.
Yep, it's another starchy root. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then you were talking about making garlic ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone to the Saugerties Garlic Festival, which is every
it's a big
September?
Thing.
Yeah. I actually have never been
it's
there.
It's a big deal.
Never been.
Oh, my God. Go there, and you might want to talk to someone because they have garlic ice cream that it's time for.
Is it good?
They have
yeah.
garlic fudge. Oh, it's delicious.
Garlic fudge?
Absolutely
really?
Delicious.
Ugh.
I'm a garlic, and they have garlic jelly.
Do you not like garlic, Ray?
I do like garlic, but I'm thinking garlic fudge? Nah, not so much.
You want to go for garlic ice cream, but not fudge?
You want to know something about the fudge, though, is I brought some home for other people to try, and I didn't tell them what was in it. And I said, what do you think about this?
Hmm.
And they all enjoyed it. And they said, oh, it's got a different kind of taste, but I don't know what it is. I said, would you believe garlic? None of them.
You're lucky nobody was allergic to garlic.
Good point. The lawsuits begin.
Yeah.
So you had another question, Sue?
No, what I was calling up, there was when I was listening, the fellow was talking about a substitute for sugar. And I gave up sugar almost 2 years ago now. And I have been using erythritol or xylitol mm-hmm. along with stevia.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want something like we did a ham with the yukon syrup is really, really good. Or coconut
ham?
Sugar syrup.
Okay.
Yeah, well, coconut sugar syrup is wonderful, but that's a true sugar. It's not a sugar substitute.
Oh, you make a point.
So that's why you're going to end up
but
with
it's lower on the glycemic index.
Okay. Well,
fair enough.
What I like about those products is that they're real sugars, and so you're going to get the texture that you can only get from real sugars.
Yeah. Well, the erythritol is a real sugar. It's a sugar alcohol, though, isn't it?
That I don't know.
I never drank any.
Sure. I actually don't know.
Because the erythritol and the xylitol are from fermenting different fruits and vegetables.
They sound like alcohol names, but...
Well, Sue, thank you so much for the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. Alex in New Lebanon. Alex, you're on. Hello?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
I make a soda product, and I do a steam distillation technique that finishes in, and you know, I've been doing this for 16 months using a Hamilton Beach residential blender, which was just perfect, and then trying to ramp up scale, like a big aggressive blade ruins this product, and it's like a simple blade that's even semi-dull. But I burnt out the residential blender.
So you're looking for a super powered kind of motor with a dull blade. Well,
That doesn't spin crazy fast. You know, it doesn't
that
go crazy.
Does. Well, then here's the thing about, this is the really good thing about all of the turbo blenders that I have used, which includes the Vitamix, the KitchenAid, the Waring, and the Blendtec. They all give you multiple speed options.
Oh, there you go.
So you don't have to go up to the highest speed.
Right.
Now, at lower speeds, they won't grind wheat, and they won't grind flours, and they won't heat.
Right.
But they'll give you a powerful motor without going all the way
up. I always start everything on a low speed on those things because it pops. You know how blenders pop when you turn it on and everything and it goes blop up toward you. So, and this is a lot of power. So I always start them low and then pull them up. So they do have fairly low speeds on them, especially the Blendtec and the Vitamix.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Procter Silex? I now have a commercial Procter Silex like bar blender.
I've never tried one. To be honest, I've never tried one.
I think Bruce is married to his old Waring with the metal canister.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make a banana daiquiri, I'm probably going to go for that old Waring. But if I'm going to make Ray some more pudding, then I'll probably go to the KitchenAid
or
the Vitamix.
You have to do the KitchenAid.
It's good stuff. Let's go to David in Saugerties. David, you're on.
Hello?
David? Are you there? David?
Yeah.
Ah,
yes, I'm here.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, this is David.
Great. You're
Can
on.
You hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, great. Well, great show. Appreciate all the information you've given out. I wanted to follow up on the caller who had issues with her Vitamix shutting down on her when she's making her delicious cheesecake.
Yeah.
Because I have a couple of Vitamixes. I've been using them for years. I'm a professional chef. And it is actually a safety feature of the Vitamix to protect the motor.
when you put something in there that's too heavy or just making the engine, the motor work too hard. And if you do that and it shuts down, if you got room in your freezer or it's cold outside, throw the base of the blender outside or in the freezer and let it cool down faster, and you're back in business in about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, David, the other trick that I do, if any of my appliances overheat that way, if it's not cold out, I take a blow dryer on cool, and you could blow cool air right through the whole unit, and that cools it off fast. But my concern with the Nicole was that I got the sense that it didn't just burn out when she was doing the cheesecake, but that it was starting to burn out anytime she ran it on high. Now, if it was just the cheesecake and she's still listening, then that's too thick for the blender handle. But if it's happening all the time, there's a problem with the motor.
All right. Hey, David, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, we'll see you around. How often between oil changes on these things?
Supposedly you're never supposed to change that oil.
Really?
Yeah. Those kind of motors, they're built just to not have to put anything in them.
But that said, people should always be in touch with the manufacturers on these things.
Oh yeah, they love that.
Questions. Well, they may love it, but these blenders are not cheap.
Yeah.
We're talking anywhere from $350 to $700 for these blenders. These are not.
That's a lot of money for. I want to be able to afford food to put in the thing.
Well, that's why you should buy yourself an Evelskiver.
All right.
Back to that.
Are you guys working on anything now?
Yeah, we are. Well, first of all, we have a book coming out in September called The All-Time Favorite Sheet Cakes and Slab Pies.
Oh, fantastic.
But we just started work on the.
What is exactly a slab pie?
A slab pie is a pie made in a giant sheet pan.
Let me tell you about it, because I'm from the South.
Oh, is this from the South?
Oh, yeah.
A southern thing?
Oh, yeah. It's just a big old sheet of pie in a big old bacon tray.
He's got the
You
South
have to deal with
mouth.
This on a regular basis, Bruce?
That's
good luck, man. Good
that's
luck.
That's literally how I come up.
I see.
So, that's actually to bed and out this September.
So that's done, and that's awaiting?
That is awaiting
that
publication.
Is, but okay. We so just started working on the Kitchen Shortcut Bible.
So what's it? What
so
do you
that
mean?
Is going to be 300 recipes that each use either an ingredient or an appliance or a tool in an unusual way to make things go faster. So, for instance, you can make incredible Indonesian barbecue chicken by taking pickle brine as your marinade, and you
so like when you're done with a jar of pickles,
keep all the pickle brine
keep
because
the
you're
going
to use that. You're going to whisk into that some Thai curry paste and some smoked paprika, and you're going to throw the pork chops or the chicken breasts in that for like an hour and then grill them up.
I've literally seen Bruce do this, to take the jar of pickle brine that's left over and shove the boneless, skinless chicken breast right in the jar with the curry paste that's mixed in a little bit. Leave it there about 15-20 minutes, and then grill it. And you have this Thai marinated chicken breast.
Well, here's an idea.
Amazing.
Yeah. You get the Vitamix, you put the wings right in with the paste, and you turn it on and see what happens.
And the bones.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. You'll have dog food.
Chicken wing dog food.
Delicious.
Mm. Now imagine a pound cake where all you're going to use is melted ice cream as the base, and you're going to put in some flour and some eggs.
How are you going to do that?
You buy a pint of Häagen-Dazs
and let it melt.
Let it melt. Add flour and an egg. Put it in a loaf pan and bake it.
All right.
So this book is going to be full of 300 recipes that allow you to do that.
All right. We have a minute here. How the hell do you come up with something like this?
What is my job?
What is my job again?
Really?
I came up with this idea last week. For
you do
pastas.
Take ether or something? How do you come up with this stuff?
Sure.
So you could do all these pasta dishes where literally I made this dish the other night where I put tiny shrimp and vegetables in the colander. Put it in the sink, and I boiled the pasta. Then I poured the hot pasta over that stuff in the colander. That cooked the shrimp and the vegetables, just that hot water pouring over them. Let it sit for 2 minutes to finish cooking. Dumped that whole thing in a bowl with olive oil and garlic and lemon and Parmesan, and there was instant shrimp pasta Parmesan.
Well, that sounds like it might be a popular, another one to match your ice cream book.
Well,
from your mouth to whoever's here.
Good luck with that. Now, I think for the follow-up on the blender book.
Yeah.
Weed Whacker cookbook. Okay, just a few more horsepower. Make your own yogurt.
The compendium with that manifold destiny where they cooked on their car.
Have you guys done that?
No, have you?
You drive 300 miles at 62 miles an hour.
And eat your fish.
Yeah, but you got to baste the ham in Dr. Pepper.
Have you ever cooked in your dishwasher?
I have. Well, on that happy note, we say goodbye to Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, and thank you guys for being here. The book is Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution. Support comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no moo dairy free. Handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, creating special blends with labels for gifts, weddings, and corporate events. RollingRockSalt.com for market appearances. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Thanks again to Bruce and Mark for being here, and thank you for listening and all the great calls today. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Barb King took your calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis, thanks for joining us on Vox Pop. There will not be a show on Monday as we observe President's Day. You can pick your own president. But we'll be back on Tuesday. Tune in at 2 o'clock. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend.